Get your praise on. Spirit 1400.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1817 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliatt Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
Joshua 3, praise God, third chapter, book of Joshua. God is kind, isn't he? Praise him on tonight. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. And Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel enlarged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We talked the other week about the wonders of God.
Yes, yes.
I want to look at the line above it when talk about going in unfamiliar places. Joshua's already proven that he was a faithful servant in how he reacted, or should I say how he responded and related to his predecessor, Moses. For Joshua proved to be one of those loyal men that the man Moses ever had. When Moses' own brother Aaron and his sister Miriam began to criticize the fact that he married an Ethiopian woman, and they began to criticize and accuse Moses, said all kind of negative things about him. God smote Miriam with leprosy, because Miriam had too much mouth about stuff she had no business dealing in. I often tell people, be careful how you get in people's business, because you just might get in trouble with God. She criticized her brother because her brother married an Ethiopian woman, which means this woman was of a dark skin complexion. Obviously, Miriam had some prejudices about her. But the fact that she criticized not the woman, but she criticized the man of God, Miriam quickly learned the lesson, what it meant by touch not my anointed and do my servant no harm. What Miriam failed to realize that what Moses did was not any public business. It was a personal decision. And God allowed him to have leverage in his personal life. Therefore, there's a line drawn between a man's public service and his personal life. And God declared unto Miriam, you need to get your act together along with Aaron. But then God healed Miriam. God did deliver her. And I believe he did it at the request of her brother Moses. Joshua proved to be more loyal than his own kinmen. When I say his own kinmen, I'm talking now about Moses' kinmen. And sometimes those who are your friends are not of your household. Sometimes your enemies are of your household. Sometimes the people closest to you can do you the worst harm or the most harm. And sometimes God will raise up somebody outside of the confines of the family circle who will befriend you like a brother. My mind now goes to a man by the name of Jonathan and David. The Bible says David and Jonathan were so close that their souls were knitted together. And that the love that Jonathan and David shared with one another was stronger than that of a man for a woman. There was nothing kinky about it, nothing hanky-panky about it. It's just the writer was describing how intense the love was.
Yeah.
To the end that Jonathan protected David from the evil of his own father.
Yeah, that's right.
And David discovered, even with that relationship, that his brothers and himself did not have that kind of relationship.
That's right. Come on now.
I want to tell you tonight, you need to understand again that everybody that's close to you is not for you.
Come on,
and sometimes God has to get a ram out of the bush to show you that he can use anybody to be a blessing to your life. And I don't care who you are tonight, if you don't have at least one good friend, get yourself one. You're going to need it on the journey.
All right.
You need to get yourself a special assistant, somebody you can confide in and entrust your business to, so that when time comes where you're too overwhelmed with life, there's somebody who's got your back. You don't need anybody to cover up for you. You just need somebody who's going to cover you. You got me tonight? You don't need anybody that's going to compromise your spiritual values or your moral values. You need somebody who's covering you enough to say you don't want to go that route, because that route is leading to destruction and death. That's what Moses had in the man Joshua. Joshua, little did he know that one day God would elevate him to the place where Moses was or is. The Bible says when Moses' time came to leave place, when God said to him, I got to pull you out, but I've got your replacement, because I've been watching him during the whole wilderness journey.
Yeah, yeah.
He was there with you when you came out of Egypt.
Yeah.
He was there as you crossed the Red Sea.
Yeah.
He's never tried to compete against you. He's never tried to turn the people's heart against you. He's always been there just when you needed him. He knew that you were growing weak and feeble, but never once did he try to usurp your authority. He never tried to manipulate and take the staff from you. As a matter of fact, he was right there holding up your arms in the midst of a hot battle. This man will do you much good. I'm raising not Eliezer, your son. And check it out. Not Eliezer, your son, but I'm going to raise up Joshua, your servant. Your son Eliezer is all right, but I can't use him right now. I need you to understand, I got another assignment for Eliezer. As a matter of fact, when it came time for the assignment, God said, strip Aaron, clothe Eliezer, because Aaron done messed up. God has a place for everybody, and everybody has a place in God. God used Eliezer just as much as he used Aaron to be a priest among the people and to serve as a spiritual advisor to his father. But Joshua, on the other hand, will literally take his father's place, take Moses' place, and lead the people to their next level. As a matter of fact, the very name Yeshua or Joshua means salvation. He would become the extension and the extended service ministry of Moses himself. After God just said to Moses, look over Mount Pisgah's lofty heights and see the promised land that you will not enter into. But yet I've commissioned Joshua.
Yeah.
And it is in that spirit that Joshua rise to the occasion. But he doesn't rise with self-confidence and arrogance. He rise with a sense of humility and humbleness of heart. Joshua is kind of second guessing God's choice. And I want to tell you tonight, whenever God calls a man, whenever God chooses an individual, God already knows what you're capable of doing. God knows your ability. I don't care who you are, man, woman, if God ever put his finger on you, it's because he's already put the stuff in you that you need for service. You might not feel like you're qualified, but God says you're qualified because I called you. And he whom I called, I justified you. And if I justified you, I've already qualified you. You don't have to second guess my decision. I knew what you were going to be before your mama had you. I knew what you were going to be when you were in your mother's womb. I knew what you're going to be. Matter of fact, before your mama named you, I'd already labeled you my servant. Joshua becomes the servant of Moses, and God understands Joshua's temperament. He understands Joshua's tenure with Moses and his temperament with the people. He is the right man. And the Bible says when God called Joshua, when Joshua got word right there in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, when Moses said to Joshua, I've got to
consecrate you now to take this people to the next level. This is why it is important for every Joshua in ministry. I don't care who your Moses is. That's why it's important for Joshuas to maintain their demeanor. Don't get excited. Don't get anxious. Don't get in a hurry. Don't go look for a crowd of folk you can turn against your Moses. Just hold up, because when your time comes, God will put you in your turn. Come on, shout glory in that tonight. Many preachers have messed up because they got ahead of God and tried to usurp the Moses that God had in the place ahead of them. All they need to do is just wait it out, and in due season, God will call Moses home and raise Joshua. Always remember, God never removes a Moses without having a Joshua somewhere in the wings. Am I right about it tonight? That doesn't just apply to ministry and ministers. That applies to any of you. God's always got somebody who can help you carry the ball, or carry the ball that you tried to carry the whole journey. God's got somebody already designated to finish what you started. If you don't get it finished on this end, God's already got your fill-in. God's got somebody. He's already decreed and declared that that will take the job, take the people, and take the task to the place where God has already destined for the people to go. Joshua is the man because God decreed it and God declared it. And God said to Moses, you are the chief consecrator. Therefore, I want you to call Joshua. I want you to speak what I've spoken to you about Joshua. I don't want anybody else talking to Joshua. I don't want anybody else speaking over Joshua. I don't need Aaron to do it. I don't need Aaron. I don't need Aaron's sons. I need you to bring Joshua out front and center and speak the word of blessing over him in front of the congregation, so there'll be no question about who's the next in line. Don't leave any ambiguity. I want you to tell them, I chose Joshua. And since you are the chief consecrator, I'm declaring, I'm commanding you now to consecrate Joshua. Because Joshua's got a task upon him that requires an unusual anointing. And the Bible says when Moses fell asleep and God buried him, God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is now dead. And I need you to go into operation. Swing into operation. No, you don't get a honeymoon. No, you don't get a chance to take a vacation. No, you don't get a sabbatical. You go right to service. You can't wait for an installation service, because that's already took place. Come on, give God some glory. I've already installed you. I want you to forget about ceremonial stuff and make your way at the head of the people and stand before the people and give instruction to the priest and the Levites and the others and tell them it's time to proceed. The Bible says early in the morning, Joshua got up and began to go before God in prayer. Because whenever God set you the task, I don't care how much anointing oil been put on you, I don't care who laid their hands on you, there comes a time when you have to go to God for yourself and affirm within your spirit that this is what God has ordained me to do. Don't let your pastor call you. Don't let your mama call you. Don't let your daddy call you. Don't let your best friend call you. You go to God. I don't care how much of God's hand they can see on your life. You make sure you go to God and say, is this what you want me to do? Yeah. Come on and wake up. I'm trying to close. The book says he got up early in the morning. Thank you. I think that early suggests before the sun rose, that Joshua found himself consulting God. And it was in prayer that God gave Joshua his instructions. And God said to Joshua, listen, Joshua, I need you to understand that my servant Moses is dead. But I got this to tell you also. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. The good news is, as I was with him, surely I shall be with you. How many know sometimes you got to get the bad news before the good news? Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. The bad news is you got a spot on your lung. The good news is many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them. The bad news is they give you a pink slip, they're going to lay you off. But the good news is that my God shall supply earth all of my needs according to it. The good news is with him, his stripes, I am healed. When the bad news comes, look for the good news to follow. come on, come on. The devil always shows up first before the real stuff shows up. The negative always shows up before the positive, because the negative wants to get you to a place where you can't receive the positive. But when the negative comes, you just stand still and say, all right, now what's next? I heard what you said, but now what else? I hear Isaiah say, now who has believed our report? In other words, there were some other reports going on. Then Isaiah said, now whose report you're going to believe? I want to know whose report you're going to believe. Are you going to take the first report, or are you going to wait for the second sanctification? Fad report. Joshua said, I hear you. Moses is dead. God said, listen, man, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He said, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to stay in this book. Meditate in it day and night. Don't let this book depart from you. He said, listen, Joshua, I want you to know that I'm going to give you much success. Hang out with me a little while. I'm going to grant you success in everything you endeavor, because I am with you. And then he tells him, and no man, whoo, shall be able to stand up in your face and tell you anything. No man shall be able to stand before you, because what I'm going to put in you, every demon in hell got to back up. I'm going to give you such an authority and such an anointing that even those who seek your hurt and harm can't help but love you in spite of the fact they can't stand you. Come on, give him glory tonight. He'll do that. How many know he'll do that? I'll make them respect you. Even though they don't like you, they got to respect the gift I put on you. How many know tonight God can gift you so that even your enemies got to say, that's a bad Negro going there. God will do it. God says to him, I want you to get up. Up! Get up. It's time to move the people. It's time to move them. Because I'm not a God who is stagnated. It's time to move. But in order for them to make this move, Joshua, there has to be preparation. And not only must there be preparation, Joshua, but there must be a season of expectation. There has to be a level of expectancy within them to know that just because Moses is gone, I'm still here. Just because Moses is out of the picture doesn't mean the movie is over. Tell them Moses has been written out of the script. It's about a new episode now. We're about to turn some corners that they couldn't have turned if Moses had stayed in the picture. I want to tell you tonight as I close, there's some corners you can't turn as long as you hold on to your Moses. You have to embrace your Joshua spirit. You know Moses has done great things and has accomplished great feats. But past successes and past blessings will not suffice. I need some new mercy. And I need some new miracles. While I praise God for what Moses did in the wilderness, I praise God for what God did through Moses at the Red Sea. But I'm looking for God to do even greater things. I watched him destroy every enemy, drown the Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, washed up dead soldiers on the seashore, and not one Israelite was lost. Come on, give him glory. All of that was some good stuff. I've experienced his hand that feeds from on high. But all of that is over now. And I'm looking for something bigger and better. Why not thank God for my blessings of 2014? I'm not satisfied with 2014 blessings in 2015. And since he allowed me to cross over into 2014, I think I got a right to raise my expectancy level a little higher. Since he brought me over, yes, he did, from 2014. 2015 means I need a heavenly upgrade, because the program I was running on in 2014 will not accommodate the gigabytes of 2015. You're not praying with me. I need God to take me to another place in 2014. I don't want to see what I saw in 2014. If I got to have some adversities, give me some new adversities. I don't want the same old trouble that I had in 2014. That's so counterproductive. But if I'm gonna have some obstacles, at least let me have some different obstacles. If I'm gonna have some enemies, don't let me have the same enemies. I want some new enemies. Come on, shout glory. Because if I got the same old enemies that I had last year, that means I didn't kill them off. I merely wounded them. And anything you wound will get back up and come and get you. So whenever you shoot, you better shoot to kill. Come on, shout glory. Because if you don't kill that devil, another devil gonna show up and join with the wounded devil. Come on, shout glory. And I wasn't made to fight demons and devils. I was created to glorify God. I heard my grandmama and granddaddy singing, "Keep so busy working for my master. I ain't got time. Ain't got time to die. Ain't got time to be fighting with the past. Ain't got time to be fighting with past failure. I got too much ahead of me to spend my time walking in yesterday. I got to keep on walking, because I just believe something better is about to happen in 2015 that did not happen in 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Something didn't happen at the turn of the century. Something didn't happen when the 20K came in. But I've been waiting, 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 lo, these 14 years. And here I am, 14 years later, saying I feel it coming. I can see it coming. I can envision it coming. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm about to climb the high place, stand on my high place with my highest feet, and I'm going to give God glory. Oh, somebody help me give him glory, because I'm about to go into some unfamiliar territory, but I'm believing I don't have to go by myself. I got fellowship with Jesus. I got friendship with Jesus. Fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Anybody know your headache to some unfamiliar territory, but God knows it's the place I need to be. God knows it's the place I want to be. God knows I've been through too much not to go there. I've seen too much not to go there. Cry too much, pray too long not to go there. Come on with me. Got to get there. Got to go there. It's mine. He promised it to me. It's mine. He said it was mine. Add glory. Say, neighbor, I know you failed at it in 2014, but do it again. Do it again this time. Do it again this time. This time. This time. This time. No failure. This time. No failure. This time. Success. This time. Prosperity. Come on, come on, come on. Our glory. The reason why you failed the first time, God wanted you to see what it was like to try anything without him. But this time, he's going to be with you. And when you try it, this time, no failure. You're going to a place where you've never been before. Sanctify yourself. Get ready. Sanctify yourself. Shout glory. Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. If you can believe it, if you can desire it, if you can dream it, it's yours.
I know I'm real tonight. Yeah.
Is he all right? Sanctify. Take the people. Take them cross. Get on over there. Get across the river. Because tomorrow you're going to a place where you've never been before. Come on, shout glory. Come on, give him praise. Anybody looking for the place?
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
The spirit of today's gospel. Spirit 1400.